Well, good evening and welcome, everyone. I am your host. I'm James Orr. And for those of you that are coming in late, I will post a link in the chat to download the spreadsheet. And from here on out, I will ask my buddy Jason if he would be willing to, add the link to the spreadsheet in case people are straggling in late and they're like, hey, where's the spreadsheet and stuff like that. So tonight's class, we're going to be going over a brand new spreadsheet. I just created this thing. In fact, I did the first draft of this. Must have been, Jason, when did I send that to you? Was it about a week ago? It's probably about a week ago. I did the first draft about a week ago, and then I worked on a bunch of revisions and stuff and made it prettier and locked some stuff down and everything else. Yeah, about a week or so ago. But I made it all pretty and stuff this afternoon. So hopefully everything works as planned. If you guys notice any errors, I'll go ahead and correct those and send you out an updated copy. But the idea is this is a budget spreadsheet. But it's a very special budget spreadsheet. It's a budget spreadsheet designed for a kind of unique situation where you are planning for what you're spending now, what's your minimum that you need to have set aside for achieving financial independence, and then what your ideal number is for financial independence. And then we do some additional calculations that kind of give you an idea of how much you need to have set aside for invested at whatever your safe withdrawal rate. It kind of gives you that. But really, it's not intended to be it's not intended to replace the real estate financial planner software where you're kind of calculating, you know, what is this going to be with inflation and what happens if things don't go up in value. It's not doing any of that. It's really intended to be a very simple, basic tool to help you better understand what you're spending money on now, what you would be spending on money if something unfortunate happened, like loss of a job or divorce, or, you know, you really got tired of working and you're like, I can't work here anymore. Do I have enough to be able to stop working and live on, you know, my kind of minimum requirements for financial independence? Or, you know, do I have enough to hit my ideal? Like, what would be my ideal retirement sort of financially independent lifestyle? And do I have enough for that? And so the thought process is, while you're going down and doing your budget, why not do all three of these at the same time? Because I hear from people, we had some friends over for game night. This must have been last week or the week before. And one of the things that came up is one of my friends was like, you know, I sat down and I'm like, hey, can I stop working? A relatively young guy. And he's like, can I stop working? And then he said, I worked up a budget for doing the kind of minimum I need in order to be able to, you know, be financially independent. And this is what I was thinking of like making this spreadsheet for a while of having what's your current expenses. And then if you really needed to stop working or to retire, or you wanted to go and retire as soon as possible, kind of like a lean fire for those of you that are familiar with that concept, or, you know, you wanted to do your fat fire, your kind of ideal number, do you have enough for all three of those? And so we're just going to go through and we're going to do the numbers for each of those tonight. And I'm going to share with you exactly what you need to be able to do it. For those that are coming in late, Jason will post a link to the spreadsheet so that you guys can go download it. Go ahead and download it. Save a copy to your desktop so that you have it. And what I would encourage you to do is save a copy and call it something like, you know, with my numbers, or, you know, Jason's numbers, or whatever you're doing to kind of show that you have your numbers there. That way you have a blank copy in case you want to go back and change something, or you want to do it for a buddy or your spouse or something like that. So you have all that. And then the thinking is throughout the night, I'll tell you to save your copy as you go, because we're going to fill it in together. And then at the end, I'm going to walk you through running the numbers backwards to show you how much you need to have for each one of these three different levels of your current budget, the minimum budget in order to be lean fire, and then your ideal budget in order to be kind of like fat fire, if you're kind of familiar with that. If you've been to any of our other classes where we talked about the phases of financial independence, kind of like phase one is when you're working toward having your minimum monthly target, your minimum target monthly income in retirement, your MTMIR. That's really what that minimum budget is here for. And then once you achieve your minimum, once you have enough invested where you've achieved your minimum target monthly income in retirement, then you are working towards your ideal, which is phase two. So phase two, you have achieved your minimum. Phase one is where you're working towards your minimum. Phase two is when you've achieved your minimum and you're working towards your ideal. Phase three is when you've reached your ideal, but you're working toward having 2 times your ideal. That way you are resilient in case the market goes against you and we have a big setback, you know, financial setback, or things become really expensive from inflation. You have 2 times that. And then phase four is when you've achieved 2 times your ideal. So really what we're looking for tonight is to come up with a number for your current, for your minimum, and for your ideal. And we're going to work through that tonight in the spreadsheet. So go ahead and do that. Download it if you haven't done it. If you still need the spreadsheet, go ahead and put it in the chat window. If you do have questions at all throughout tonight, please do use the chat window. I'll kind of monitor those and we'll look at those. What I'm going to do though, can everyone see my spreadsheet on the screen? Anyone not be able to see my spreadsheet? Okay, good. Roger can see it. Is there anyone cannot, let me know. But what I'm going to do a couple things to make it easier for you to see, but I wanted everyone to know I'm using this in Microsoft Excel. I can't say for sure that it will work in Google Sheets or any of these other tools if you're doing that. So I can't tell you that it will do that, but if you have Microsoft Excel, this is what I'm using then. And I'm going to use Control Shift F1. And well, oh, maybe I'll do it in a second here. Control Shift F1. And I'm going to make it full screen to try to make it a little easier for you. And then I'm also going to zoom in. So I could use the control key and my scroll bar, the mouse scroll bar in order to zoom in order to make it a little bit bigger for you. But you can also do it on the bottom right-hand part of your screen if you haven't made it full screen yet. So I'm just going to do it a little bit bigger to make it easier for folks to see. Realize that's not how I would normally operate this thing. Normally I'd operate it a little bit farther out, but I'll do it right here so that you can see what's going on. And then I did like a really rough mock-up of my personal budget with some, I don't know, things changed to kind of show, for example. So if you're like, James, do you really spend X number of dollars per month on something? Please don't make fun of me and call me out for that. It may be, for example, it may be true, but it may also be for purely fictional example purposes. And so try not to read too much into my personal budget. But I'm going to walk you through. We're going to do it together. So please pull up the spreadsheet for yourself. If you have 2 monitors or you have the ability to watch the video and do the spreadsheet at the same time, I would encourage you to do that. But otherwise, you'll just listen to my voice. Before you pull up the spreadsheet, though, I want to talk you through a couple things just so you know what's going on. So the general way the spreadsheet is laid out is on the left-hand side, all the way down, are all your different expenses just grouped by major categories, okay? And there should be nothing surprising in there. There's also the kind of yellow areas are intended to be areas for input. So if it's kind of like a manila yellow looking area, that's intended for you to write a number in there. So if you have other, as an example of a different expense, you can go right in whatever you want here. So if another for you is my housing expense is lawn care, you could type in lawn care and then that will show up there for whatever you want to do. How I've done my own personal budgets in the past is I've sometimes put comments as to what the numbers are. So for example, if I have, you know, my cable bill is mixed in with my internet service. And so I might put in there a little comment that says, you know, this is also internet and cable mixed together or whatever it is on there so that you can kind of do that. I didn't build this one specifically for that purpose, but that's how I typically do it. So anything manila is an input for you. The current column is going to be your current budget, what you're actually spending right now. Minimum is going to be what the absolute minimum is if you were going to live your kind of like minimal retirement or lean FIRE. So whatever that looks like for you, you know, for some of us, it's going to look very different. You know, for some people minimum is, you know, really, really minimum. Some of us it's going to be, you know, this is sort of like my threshold bottom. And then ideal is either your dream or like what you'd like to really retire at. It's really up to you as to what you want to do there. And then ACT for me means actual. So this kind of N stands for no, it's not an actual, it's like an estimate. But if you put a Y in here, it turns green to show you that is a real number that you've gotten from somewhere. And so it's really a toggle for you to make it easy to know which ones you need to go back after we've done this class and for you to say, hey, this was just an estimate. I don't really know if my property taxes are this exact dollar amount. So for tonight, I'm going to put in whatever it is, $200 a month. And then I'll go back through and I'll change that. So you could leave it as actual no, but anything that is a real number you can do, Y or whatever it is, you could put like a different thing in there. It's just going to not be color coded. So you could do Y or N, whatever you want to do in order to show whether that's actual or not actual, and do that. When I was originally designing this spreadsheet, I had another column in here, but it turns out there's only really two things on the spreadsheet that that column applied to. So I decided to take it out, but I'll share with you because it's the first one we're going to cover tonight. I had a column in here for whether or not something adjusted with inflation or not. And it turns out there's only two items on here that do not adjust with inflation. That is your mortgage. The principal and interest part of your mortgage does not adjust with inflation. It becomes fixed. And so that is inflation proof, right? Once you get your 30-year mortgage, that number does not change on you. And so I used to have another column whether something was inflation. I think I was sensitive to inflation or something like that. It was another column, but I decided to remove it because mortgage was one of the ones that did it. And then the other one that is there that I thought of was down here, you'll see there's a spot for payments on liens or judgments, sometimes child support, alimony. Sometimes those are not inflation adjusted where they're just fixed dollars amount. That's what they get no matter what. And so those would also be not sensitive to inflation. But for the most part, the everything else on here will adjust with inflation, which this is a snapshot in time. It is not intended to model inflation stuff for you. So it's not going to go ahead and say, you know, I'm spending whatever it is, $8,000 a month on all my expenses, and that is going to adjust with inflation, that my numbers will show that. It's really sort of a snapshot if you did all this stuff today. And you can come back here and model it later, you know, do it 6 months from now or a year from now and adjust your numbers. Okay, any questions before I jump into doing the numbers together? And I'll just walk through and I'll enter mine in and I'll answer any questions we have. And then at the end, I'll walk you through the summary and then how passive income and your amount that you need to have invested in order to do that. Any questions before we get started? Going once. Going twice. Okay. I will assume there are no questions. All right. The spreadsheet is locked down, so you should not be able to edit anything that you're not intended to edit. So you can't edit anything over here. Only the things you should be able to edit are the things that are in the manila fields. So for example, let's start with mortgage. So for mortgage, so my mortgage is $1,474.62. And so I just enter that in there. What the spreadsheet will automatically do for us is it will go ahead and just copy anything you put into the current fields into both minimum and ideal. It just assumes, says, hey, listen, if you're going to put that number in there, let's assume that that is also your minimum and your ideal. If it is different for you, if you're saying, hey, look, I'm living in a place right now where if my mortgage payment, go ahead and enter your mortgage payment. But if you're living in a place right now where you're like, look, if things really hit the fan and I had to quit my job or I got fired from my job or I really got to the point, I got sick, I could not work anymore. Or I really got tired of working. I needed to retire right now. And you hit your minimum and you're like, look, if really things got super tight, I would go rent someplace and that would be $800 a month. Then go ahead and put whatever number is for your minimum. And then for your ideal, if you're like, look, I would not live in the same house. My ideal is to eventually get either this thing paid off, in which case it might be zero. Or you might say to yourself, hey, I'm going to be moving into a, whatever it is, $1 million or $2 million place. And so I'm going to go ahead and put in here, you know, my house is probably, I think we bought it for like 400 or whatever it was here. So it probably would be twice that, right? It'd be, you know, 2,900 or whatever. Go ahead and estimate it. And then of course, is this actual? No, it's not. So put a no there if it's not. If it's real, then put yes. And so for me, it's real. And so I'm going to go ahead and do, I'm going to go ahead and do it back. So mine is going to be the same, and I don't plan on moving anywhere. I plan on staying here, whether it's my minimum or whether it's my ideal. And so I'm going to keep those exactly the same, and it is actual for me. So I'm going to put a yes in there showing that that's a real number. And this doesn't get used anywhere. It's just a toggle for you to know whether or not you've got that. And Jason, I did notice a couple of people straggling. So if you'd be willing to share the spreadsheet again with them, that would be awesome. That way they can catch up. Okay. Then for rent, if you don't have a mortgage on your property, go ahead and put in whatever your rent is here. I don't have anything for rent, so my rent is going to be zero. But if you have rent, if you're paying rent instead of a mortgage, go ahead and enter that instead. I'll give you a moment to enter your numbers. Okay. Property taxes. So for me, my property taxes are $185.57 per month. And again, because I'm living in this property, regardless of whether I'm doing my minimum or my ideal, I'm going to have those numbers be exactly the same. That is also actual. So is this, because I'm not really doing it. So I'm just going to kind of toggle and say, yes, those are my actual numbers. homeowners or renters insurance. So if you're renting, you're going to put in how much you're spending on renters insurance. If you're a homeowner, you put in how much you're spending on your homeowners insurance here. So for me, my homeowners insurance is $96.81 per month. And again, that is not going to change whether I am living my minimum or my ideal. We'll see later on that you're going to see a lot more variation in that. But for now, we're just going to put in whatever your current number is. And then what is your minimum? Maybe if you decide, hey, look, if things really got tight and I had to quit my job, I would get a slightly lower cost insurance policy. I would not have as good of insurance. Maybe you lower that down to $80 a month or whatever. Oh, I will point out one thing. I made it so that when you put a number and it's not the same as the number to the left, so if it's not the same as your current, it does change colors for you. It just makes it easier for you to see which ones are different as we go through this together. And so if you also notice, it changes color here as well to show that the totals are going to be different. And over here on the right-hand side, that your expenses are going to be different. It's just a visual to make it super easy to see if they're the same or not. So you can do that. And another thing that happens too is when you put in a number here, it automatically assumes that your ideal will be the minimum too. So it just assumes that these will be the same. And then if this is different, you know, if this is $100 a month, then that would be a different color. So they're slightly different. For me, because my personal thing is, no matter if I'm doing my minimum or I'm doing my ideal or I'm doing my current, they're going to be exactly the same. I do that. Miles says, thanks for that. Yeah, you're very welcome. I assume you're asking me, you're thanking me for the colors things. And Roger says, if taxes and insurance are escrowed in the mortgage, should we leave those blank? So if you did your mortgage payments as like the total for your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, you're welcome to do that. All it's doing is summing them up. So if you want to have them completely combined, that's fine. I will point out though, that if you're going to do differences with your minimum and ideal, then I would break them out. So for example, Roger, if you're going and you're saying to me, hey, look, my ideal is when I'm ready to retire, when I'm living my ideal lifestyle, I'm going to have this mortgage paid off, then put zero in your mortgage, but you'll still need to have your property taxes and insurance. So in that case, if you are going to do some type of ideal thing where you're going to have your mortgage paid off, or you're going to upgrade to a much more expensive house, I personally would break those out. But for now, go ahead and use that actual ideal thing and write down that yes, they're actual, or no, they're not, and they're kind of, you know, kind of estimates. And you can always come back later and do this. It is helpful for you, even tonight, going through and just estimating what you think it is. We can always go and update this later, and then we don't have to readjust it all. We can just go in and say, okay, these are real numbers now. I'm gonna tune this up and make it much better. Yeah, just don't double count them. Yep, good idea. Don't do that. Okay, so where I live, there's an HOA. So my HOA is $29.17 per month. And again, because I'm going to live in this house, whether I'm doing my minimum or ideal, they're the same for me. If you happen to be in a spot where you're like, look, if I move out of here, I'm not going to have an HOA, then put zero for your minimum. If you're going to move into a spot that has a much more expensive HOA, like, you know, you want to move into a location that's going to have, you know, significant services like a pool and all that other stuff, go ahead and do that. Phone service. So my phone, I think my wife and I did a deal where we actually financed the phone through the phone service rather than, you know, just drop $900 or whatever it is for the newest phone. They had like a zero interest. You just pay it for 2 years or something like that. I don't even know what the time frame is. Again, don't make fun of me. And so I just put my phone in there. Now, for me though, if I were going to go into like minimum mode, my phone is one of the things I would change. So if I really got down to it and it got to be, you know, the significant issue where I was, you know, trying to not work or whatever it is, I would go ahead and do a phone, and I probably would do like a $30 a month plan for like a, you know, flip phone that has like just emergency things in there. So I would go ahead and enter that in there. But for me, I would do the ideal would be what I'm currently doing. Okay. So go ahead and do that. Whatever makes sense for you, but that's how I think about it. If that was my minimum. Electricity. I think our electric bill is about $120 a month. And if I were to do minimum, I might be a little bit more conservative. Maybe I wouldn't run the hot tub as much, or maybe I wouldn't run it at all. And then, so I would do that there. And so my numbers for current and ideal are going to be the same. For minimum, I might try to turn off the lights when I leave the room, or not run the AC as much, or not run the hot tub. And so it might be a little bit cheaper for me. My gas bill, and by the way, you should be going through and entering this for yours. Don't just watch me. Please do your own, because we're going to want to see your numbers at the end for yourself. I'm not going to look at them, but they're for you. So gas, I think my gas bill is about $110 a month, and I'm not going to not heat the house. So that's going to be the same for me, whether I'm living my minimum or my ideal. For water and sewer, I think I'm paying about $70 a month for that. And so you can go look at that. My cable bill. So I have cable TV merged in with my internet service. So I have like a, I'm not, so this is another part where I get embarrassed, right? Like this is like the me sharing with you where I feel self-conscious about this because you guys get to see some of my budget. And this number is real, I think. I think I spend $170 a month between cable and internet. Now, I have really good high-speed internet, like the most expensive one you can get for a house. And I do have like HBO and Showtime and some of those other entertainment things on there. So for you, it might be a very different number. For me, they're kind of merged. And so my cable bill under, oh, sorry, my internet bill under here is going to be zero. However, if things really got tight, I would probably not pay for a cable package. I would go rent movies. And by rent movies, I mean, check them out from the library. And I probably would do Netflix, which I'll show you down below. And then for internet, I would downgrade my plan. I would just do a $50 a month plan there. And so for me, what I just said is, hey, look, right now I'm paying $170 a month for cable. If I was living my ideal, it'd be about $170 a month. And my internet bill would be, if I decided to live minimum, I would just pay $50 for internet and I would pay $0 for the current and for the ideal because they're already included in my cable. Does that make sense, everybody? If you didn't understand that, please let me know because you should be modeling this the same way for yourself. Okay. Waste removal, that is included with our HOA. So for me, it's zero. For you, you put in whatever you're paying for garbage or something like that. Put it in there for your current, your minimum and ideal. Security systems, I think I pay $10 a month for our Ring doorbell, backyard, side yard. I think we have like multiple security cameras. And I think I pay the professional one where you can have multiple things on there. If I really had to go down and do minimum, I probably would do $0 for that. I'd cancel that, but otherwise I'm keeping it. And so my ideal and my current are both $10. Maintenance repairs. So if you watched the class on capital expenses, where I went to Freaky Town and we released that new CapEx spreadsheet and everything else there, you'll notice that this number should be much larger. I'm just going to put in kind of a placeholder number for now. I also live in a 1.5-year-old house. And so my maintenance is probably pretty low for a while. But you know, you put in whatever number makes sense for you for maintenance and repairs on your own premises. If I was really tight on money, I probably would do a lot of the maintenance myself. I can swing a hammer. I can use a screwdriver. I grew up, I finished my basement when I finished my basement with my father and my brother. And we finished a deck around the pool and completely did our basement. I rehabbed houses with my dad. So, I mean, I could do all this work. I just choose not to now. And so I would pay someone to do it if it were, you know, my ideal or doing it myself. But otherwise, I would probably save money and do a lot of the work myself. And so there, that's how I would kind of model that. Whatever you model is correct for you. Supplies, I don't even know what I had for supplies. But if you need supplies for your house, things that you're buying, I don't even know what I'm thinking here. But I set aside $150 a month for doing that. And then other, I currently pay for the lawn care guys to come and do the fertilizer and de-weeder and take care of the tree thing and all that other stuff. So $83 a month is about what that works out to be for that. And so that would be both my current one and my ideal. Again, don't judge me. But now at the end, you can see there's a total. It shows you the total for your current, a total for your minimum, and a total for your idea. And it kind of just pulls those total numbers up into the expense summary on the right. Eventually, we're going to use the expense summary on the right to do some calculations, but we're just kind of walking through this together. Okay. As far as vehicle payment goes, I actually opted to finance our car. I was going to pay cash for it, but then I decided at like 0.9%, I would rather have the extra cash sitting in my bank account or earning some money invested somewhere rather than doing that. So I think our car payment's like $620 a month. And the minimum amount, if I did that, I would just pay off the car. Or my ideal, you know, maybe I would get a fancier car. And so for my ideal, maybe that's $1,000 a month. I would budget $1,000 a month for a slightly fancier car if I was really going to live my ideal or whatever it is for you. So put in whatever numbers make sense for you if you're going to do that. Okay. Auto insurance. I think our auto insurance bill is $228.85 per month. And that's really the same no matter what. I could go ahead and slightly lower my coverages if I wanted to with my minimum, but I'm not going to. And so for me, they're exactly the same for all three of them. And by the way, this is actual. You could do actual or not if you want to. This is actual. Some of these are actual. really the actual thing is just for you. So I'm just going to go ahead and put yes for all these. But this is just a simple tool for you to keep track of which ones are real, which ones you need to come back to. So do whatever you want to do with that. Licensing for your car, I think it runs about $75. I'm estimating there. So they're about $75 a year for the licensing and stuff like that. I'm sorry, $75 per month. That seems high now that I think about it, but estimated. And then fuel, I have no idea. No, the other problem, the other embarrassing problem I have with this is I don't look at these numbers, right? And so for me, I have no idea what we spend on fuel. I do have an electric car for one of our cars, but I don't know, $200 a month does seem high. And then of course, if I'm going to be kind of living a minimalistic lifestyle, I would reduce how much I'm spending on fuel. I wouldn't go out as much. I would kind of travel less. And so I might reduce that. So my current and my ideal are the same, $200 a month and $100 for your minimum. Use whatever. You guys are probably much more in touch with the numbers. I'm sort of oblivious. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but it is true. It is definitely true. Okay. Maintenance on the proper, on the cars and stuff like that. I set aside $50 a month for that. For the minimum, I don't really have skills doing cars, so that'd probably be the same for me. And then my ideal, set aside $50 a month for maintenance on the cars. Maintenance and repairs. And then saving for the replacement car. So you could choose to actually finance the car and then you don't have to save necessarily for replacement. I typically would be saving, in quotes, setting aside money to kind of pay for a replacement car in advance. And so you could put a number there if you wanted to. I'm going to leave it blank for now. Okay. So, because I'm actually financing it here. Basically at the end of it, I'll just continue to have that monthly payment or whatever it works out to be. And then anything other you do for your cars, if you pay for car washes or something else that you want to separate out, you can go ahead and label it, you know, label whatever you want to label it there, or and then put the dollar amounts for all that stuff. Okay. Am I going too fast or too slow? Let me know if I'm going too fast or slow. I'm trying to give you examples of how this works real time, but also give you enough time to fill it in. Good speed. Okay, good. Awesome. Thank you. At least two people are participating. I appreciate that, actually. Good. Okay, awesome. Three people. All right, so monthly insurance. Got to scroll down this other spreadsheet I got open. So my monthly insurance, so my healthcare insurance, health insurance is about $750 a month. If I really was going to live my minimum lifestyle, how did I describe this? If I was going to live my minimum lifestyle, I probably wouldn't have a lot of income coming in except for my own investments. And so I probably would qualify for some type of stipend for that. So my minimum would be less than that. I don't know what it would be. Maybe it's $250 a month. I don't know. But my thinking is if I don't have income coming in except for my investments, and some of those are tax advantage, like there's some depreciation stuff going on there. I think I would qualify for stuff. You guys could probably tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not doing the minimum, but tell me if I'm thinking about this incorrectly. But I think I would be earning so little that I would qualify for some type of whatever it is to be able to qualify for some of that. If I'm doing the ideal, this is the $750 is a high deductible sort of plan. So if I did ideal, maybe it's like, you know, $1,500 if I do a plan that is low deductible or something. So maybe I would switch to that if I was kind of living my ideal. This is for life insurance. If you're paying for life insurance, you would put your expense there for now. I don't personally pay for life insurance. We have enough assets that if I passed away or Tammy passed away, we wouldn't need to have a life insurance policy claim. We do have an umbrella policy though, and you should too. If you watched any of the asset protection class, I think my umbrella policy premium is $137.42 a month. You could make an argument that if I was really living my minimum lifestyle and I needed to save money somewhere, I could open myself up to the risk of not having that additional insurance and I could put my minimum at zero. For me personally, I would rather have that insurance. That is an important insurance for me to personally have for liability protection against stuff that could happen above my other limits. And so for me, I would probably keep that. But you may want to change it. And that is my ideal number. It is not like a, it's not a low number that I'm currently paying for. I am well insured. So, okay. Jason says, many FIRE people intentionally manage their adjusted gross income, AGI, to max out PTC, which I have no idea what PTC is, to make ACA health insurance zero. I don't know what ACA is either, but I think what he's saying is what I was trying to describe, that if you were trying to optimize for that health insurance number. You could try to make your income such that you qualify for assistance with your healthcare premiums for doing that. And so you may want to research that if you're not familiar with it. Again, for me, I'm probably not doing that. Honestly, I'll probably keep it to 750, but I'll put it in there for now, just so you can see. Premium tax credit is what PTC stands for, and Affordable Care Act is what ACA. There you go. Areas of expertise, not for me. And then if you have any other insurance that you're paying, you can put those in there then. Okay. And then monthly food expenses. Again, don't judge me. Food, I think we put here. Whoops, let's see here. Our grocery bill is $850 a month. I think if I have no idea. I don't do any of the shopping. But if we were doing a minimum $800, yeah, here comes the burrito bill. Exactly, Jason. And then maybe if I was living my ideal, it's the same as my current one. But maybe we could save $50 a month if we were a little bit tight on food. Maybe we could spend more than that. Maybe we could save more than that. I don't know. My dining out budget. I should probably just make up a number here. All right, I'll tell you approximately what it is. $1,200 a month for my dining out budget. And if I was to a minimum, I don't know, maybe $200 a month is what I would do there. My ideal is what I'm currently doing. Veronica asks, what do others pay on groceries? Yeah, if you guys want to share, if you're willing to share what you're paying on groceries, that'd be great. I don't know. Again, my numbers are all wacky, I'm sure. If anybody wants to share, you can put it in the chat window. Okay. So monthly pet expenses. So pet food. I'm guessing we spend $125 a month on pet food. And so here's the weird one for me, right? Like if I'm really thinking about this, I'm thinking to myself, we have pets. They're like 15 years old though. And so by the time I'm ready for ideal, like if you're thinking traditionally, maybe you're not going to have any pets, or maybe you will. If you're going to have pets, go ahead and put whatever you want in there. But for me, I might not have any pets in ideal. And so I might put zero for there. But for now, I'm going to leave it because my pets are 15 years old. And when they go away, that will go away for me. So Veronica, some people said, Miles says, with kids, $1,200 per month. Without kids, $300. Jason says, I spend about $200 a month on groceries for just him. Roger says, I don't know for sure, but I think it's about $100. See, Roger's like, yeah, James is pretty close. And then Carlos says about $800. So there you go. It gives you an idea of like what it is. And I bet you there's some regional differences. We've got someone on, I know from Hawaii. I would imagine groceries in Hawaii are much more expensive than they are in the mainland. That's my guess. I don't know for sure, but I would think it'd be more expensive to have groceries, in Alaska and Hawaii and some of those other. Yeah, Carlos says, yes, it is. There you go. All right, so monthly pet expenses. So for medical, I think we're paying $125. If you guys listen to any of my other podcast episodes, I talked to you about the deal I got on getting pet insurance. So they were silly enough, in quotes, to allow me to buy pet insurance starting at age 15 on my dog or 14 on my dog. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. So $125 for, I think it's what pet insurance is. If you're having your pets groomed, you'd have numbers in here. I don't have any grooming for my pets. If you're buying your pets toys or whatever it is, do that. If you got to pay for pet care while you're going away on vacation, like pet hotels or something like that, you may want to put that into other for your pets. Okay. I'll give you a chance to catch up if you have pets. Otherwise, we'll move on to the next one. Is this helpful for folks being able to see it? I think we've only lost two people. So seems like it's helpful for folks. Okay, good. All right, so monthly personal care expenses. So this is like how much you're spending, not insurance. This is like how much you're spending on medical stuff, dental stuff, optometrist prescriptions, hair and nails, clothing, all that other stuff. And so you'll see that I have like zero budget for clothing here. Medical, we really don't have a lot of medical. I mean, knock on wood, we're super healthy. So I think I have like a $5 thing that I pay every once, or $5 a month that we pay for something. I don't even know what that's for. It's probably just to cover like something silly. But you know, in my ideal budget, I probably set aside $50, you know, just to have some stuff. And it could be a lot more than that, right? Yeah. Bob and Barbie, pet insurance is $125 a month on a 14-year-old dog. Our dog had something come up recently. It was like a bladder or kidney, one of those internal organ things. And Tammy and I, like for the briefest of moments, we're like, and this sounds so heartless when I say it this way, I'm like, you know, how much should we spend to like chase down this dog's issues? Like, I mean, he's 14 years old. Is this like, you know, should we call it and say, you know, you lived a good life, you know, should we do that? And so we got by chance in the mail a postcard saying that our insurance company has pet insurance available. And I was like, we can get pet insurance on our dog. And then we don't have to worry about making that decision. Like, you just say, yeah, do it. We're covered by pet insurance. And anything that comes up seems like a deal. So I did that. So anyway, there we go. Okay. So dental, let's see, what do we pay for dental? I think we set aside about $50 a month for that. You know, maybe ideally, maybe we go a little bit more frequently, but it's me and my wife pretty much for dental. Optometrist, $50 a month for optometrist. You know, that's probably about right. If you're going to do ideal or minimum, maybe you don't do those. Prescriptions, I don't really have any prescriptions. So $5 a month just to kind of cover in case we get like, I don't know, a rash or something, and the doc needs to give us something to treat that. Or if, I don't even know. You get a cold or a sore throat and need to go get like some prescription filled. We're super lucky that we don't have that, but you guys may or may not. So hair and nails, if you're going to go have your hair done or have your nails done, you know, maybe it's $25 a month. I just use the buzzer on my head the majority of the time. So I don't have that. And I don't get a lot of mani-pedis done. So clothing, $200 a month is what I would set aside for clothing for me. If I was living my minimum, it'd be less than that. I'd do, you know, $100 a month. And maybe if I'm, you know, living that my ideal, maybe it's a little bit more. Maybe I dress a little bit nicer than the slobbish stuff that I currently wear. I don't know, maybe we do that. And then dry cleaning. I don't have any dry cleaning, but if you guys have dry cleaning, go ahead and put that in there. Health club membership. Oh my gosh, you guys are going to be crazy about this. So we spend, this is a real number, unfortunately, $290 a month between multiple health clubs. So there you go. If we were living our minimum, I would do zero. So, but right now we have like 290. I think that's, I'm trying to remember what that breaks down to. Tammy belongs to a couple climbing gyms. So there you go. That's what that is. Then if you're getting massages, you know, put about $140 a month. I'm not getting any massages if we do minimum. And maybe I bump it up and we do a massage a week or something like that if I'm living my idea. So you got to put those numbers in there. Organizational dues or fees. If you have any things you belong to that you have, you know, dues or whatever it is, go ahead and put that in there. For me, I have zero. And then other, I don't remember what other is for me, but I have 100. Oh, I know exactly what it is. It's like all the video game stuff that I do. So $160 a month is probably video game budget. And that's probably my ideal if I did that. So you can kind of see the estimates there. Yeah. Jason says that's the nature of specialized hobbies. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you guys may have your own hobbies where you have your own numbers in there. So, all right. So here's the entertainment subscription services. $40 a month, that's probably Netflix and something like that. If I went to minimum, I'd probably reduce that and get rid of some of them. Otherwise, I'd be keeping them. And then we go to the movies a lot. So I think we spend $100 a month on going to the movies. And zero, we wouldn't go to the movies if we were living our minimum. We do $100 be our ideal because that's what we're spending right now. We do occasionally go to concerts. So $50 a month for some concerts occasionally. I wouldn't be going to any if I was living my minimum. And maybe we would do a couple more concerts if we did that. So I'd set $100 if I was doing the ideal. Sporting events. I haven't been to a sporting event in a while, but you could put, oh, actually I take that back. I've been to baseball games. Yeah, let's go ahead and do, let's go ahead and put $25. That's probably more than that. It's probably $50. Nah, it's probably 25. And then zero if I'm doing my minimum, and then, you know, let's do 50 if I'm doing my ideal, a little more expensive. Setting aside fun money, you know, just like having money set aside for, you know, doing silly stuff or whatever it is. So put in whatever number for you. I'll just put in $100 a month there. And then I'll put zero in if I'm doing my minimum. And then for books, I read a lot. And so I think we spend at least $50 a month on books. If I was living my minimum, I would get them from the library. If I'm living my ideal, I'm spending what I'm spending now, which is about $50 a month. Travel. Okay. So travel is a big one. Let's see, what do we spend on travel? So I think travel, we are at $650 a month. If I'm living my minimum, I probably would only do very minimal travel, like maybe, you know, a trip to see your parents or something like that. And if I was doing my ideal, it might be a little bit more, like $1,000 a month. And then if you have any other entertainment expenses, if you've got something that's custom to you, feel free to enter those in there so that you have them all. Okay. So you can see the expenses. And I'm feeling really self-conscious about some of my numbers. Like, I probably should have cleaned up my spending before I shared with you. That's crazy. All right. And then here's all your monthly loans. So if you have any personal loans, you know, you went to the bank and you got a personal loan for anything there, go ahead and put in what your current is. If you're going to live your minimum lifestyle, go ahead and put in your personal loans there. If you're going to live an ideal lifestyle, my guess, most of you guys, if you are living your ideal lifestyle, your personal loans are zero. Yeah. Date night expenses. Really good one, Veronica. The movies and the concerts and the sporting events are all date nights for us. So yeah, that's, and a lot of the travel is dating too. So yeah, but that's exactly what you should put in there. If you have separate ones for date nights. Yep. So if you have any personal loans, you know, if you have a current one, minimum is probably going to be going to zero for most of you, I would imagine. Ideal would be, you know, zero if you're probably doing that. And then any student loans, if you have any student loans, put in whatever you're paying monthly for those. And then what your minimum would be, if you're still going to be paying them and you have to stop working, maybe you keep those at your number. In an ideal world, you'd pay those off probably, unless they're really low interest rates. And then any credit cards, I put in spots for three credit cards and two additional other fields. So put in whatever you would have for those. For most of you, I would say when you get to your ideal, you probably have paid off your credit cards. For us, we do use credit cards. This is a little bit of change. If you guys have been following me for a while, we do use credit cards to try to do some of the point dealios. I don't know why we're doing it, but we do have that. And so we pay those off each month. So for me, my credit card bill is zero because it just gets all the other expenses get run through there. And now we just do that. Okay. But for you, go put in whatever you have. And for monthly loans, put those in there. Anyone need more time before we move on to the next section? Okay. And then these are monthly savings. So how much are you setting aside right now for your retirement accounts? If you're living your minimum lifestyle, like what are you going to put in your retirement account? Then you're living your ideal. For me, I'm not adding any more to my retirement accounts. They're just growing. I'm not adding any more to them. If I have excess income, I will invest it, but I'm not like budgeting for saving it. I guess that's the better way of saying it. And then minimum for that and ideal, they're the same for me. My investment accounts, if you're doing something outside your retirement account, you can put those in there as well. You put your current, your minimum, and your ideal. And then if you're saving for like college for your kids or yourself or whatever you're doing there, this is not your college loans. These are saving for college for kids or something. You can have a separate column for that. Oh, one thing I didn't point out is if you have like, if you know you're doing like, you got three kids, you're saving $500 each. If you don't know, you can do like equals and then do 500 plus 500 plus 300 or whatever you're doing. And you can have it actually sum up to that. You don't have to, you know, do a calculator somewhere. This is Excel. You can do it all in there. If you got a wedding that you're saving for, it's either for yourself or for kids or something like that. Rebecca can go put in her wedding budget in here. Get all that done and then do your minimum and your ideal for that. And then if you have not saved up 6 months or 12 months, depending on which way you're doing it, 6 months of reserves, an emergency fund, you should be setting aside money each month in order to have your reserves. So please put in a number there if you don't have 6 months to 12 months of reserves somewhere else. Carlos says, do you prefer to invest in real estate instead of retirement? I think it is better. So we're going to get to that very next, Carlos, but I have a spot down here for down payments. And to answer your question for me, I have a mix. I'm not 100% in real estate. I'm not 100% in stocks. I am mixed in both stocks and not bonds, but stocks and real estate as a mix there and cash. So hopefully that helps you. And then the next one, after you've done your set your side, how much you're spending, current, minimum, and ideal for reserves, then the real estate down payments. How much are you setting aside for real estate down payments each month? And how much would you be doing if you're in your current budget, in your minimum, and your ideal? Jason says, I will bring you around to bonds eventually. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Jason. I mean, you know, I kind of count equity, you know, like bond-like real estate equity as my bond portfolio. And when you have a bunch of bond-like real estate equity, it sort of counts as your bonds. So yeah, we can talk about it more. Anyway, real estate down payments. So that's all there. And then anything other that you're saving for, if you have like Christmas fund or whatever you're doing, you can put that in here. Or you're saving for a trip, go ahead and put whatever numbers you have for monthly savings. And then any monthly gift or donation expenses. So if you have money set aside for gifts, we do have some of this. Let me see what our numbers are. So for gifts, we set aside $300 a month for gifts. If I was living, this is sort of like a joke. If we were living a minimum lifestyle, people wouldn't be getting gifts more. So we would put $50 a month for gifts. It's sort of a joke. Although maybe not really. I don't know. And then maybe we would get more expensive gifts if we were living our ideal style. We'd get a bit more expensive gifts. So for me, gifts is like Christmas and birthdays and anything like that, you know, holiday gifts, you know, things of that nature. So there you go. And then charity, put in whatever numbers you are for charity. I'm not going to put in mine for reasons I won't discuss, but we're not going to put numbers in there. And then if you're doing any donations or stuff there, then please don't do that. Please put in your donation numbers for either current, minimum, or ideal. And then if you have other, you know, something that you give to, you know, I don't know if you have a cause that you're giving to or something you want to separate that, you can do that and put your numbers in. Getting toward the end, guys. All right. After that, monthly legal expenses. So if you are meeting with your attorney at some regular interval or you've got an attorney that you're paying for something, I kind of broke that out. Maybe I shouldn't have. I didn't really break out a lot of other ones, although I did break out tax prep. So if you've got that in there, you can put your numbers in there. If you have any alimony or palimony that you're paying out, you can go ahead and put those in there as well. What your current is, what your minimum would be, and what your ideal. In a lot of cases, I would imagine for something like alimony, your current minimum and ideal are going to be the same. Unless maybe you say, look, in an ideal world, I would give my ex-spouse more money. Maybe that's your philosophy. Same thing with child support. Whatever you're currently paying for child support, what the minimum you have to pay for child support is, and then what the ideal would be for child support. And then if you have any liens or judgments that you're making payments on, go ahead and put those in there for current, minimum, and ideal. Some of these are like memory joggers for those that don't necessarily... for those that don't remember them, but a lot of us are not necessarily going to have them. Okay. And then if you have any other monthly legal expenses you got to pay on, go ahead and put that in there. And then the last section is taxes. And so tax preparation. So I don't remember what our tax prep bill was, but it's probably in the neighborhood of about $100 a month that we're paying for tax prep. If things got really, really tight, I probably would do my own taxes. I wouldn't like it, but I would probably do them. And so I could get that down to zero if I really wanted to. And then for federal income tax and state income tax and local income tax, go ahead and estimate what you pay in for those. If you don't know, then you know, just write down a really rough number and come back and do some estimates. You know, go look at your tax bill and how much you paid on there. I have no idea what I'm going to do in here, but I'll put in, I don't know. I have no idea what the numbers are. Jason, what should I be putting in here? I don't know, like $25,000? I have no clue. So, what? Oh, this is per month. So maybe it's, I don't know. Because I got a lot of depreciation stuff. So I don't even know. Oh, we'll call it $5,000 a month. And if I'm doing minimum, maybe it's a lot less than that. Maybe it's $1,000 a month. And then for my ideal, maybe it's $5,000. I don't know if those numbers are accurate. And then for your state taxes, whatever they are, I have no idea what it is. Let's call it $2,000. And then minimum, be, I don't know. If it's 1/5, we'll do $400 a month. And then for ideal, it's $2,000. If you have any local taxes you have to pay, do that. Okay. So once you get down to the totals at the bottom, now we're going to go up to the top. We're going to look at some stuff and we'll see some interesting things. Anyone need more time before I start going over stuff? So I don't want you to miss some of the analysis portion of me explaining it because you'll get lost. Anyone need more time? Was this helpful? Going through this, just kind of see where you are. You can go firm up the numbers later. Helpful? Yeah, good. Awesome. A lot of people saying yes. It's good stuff. Okay, good. Is it at least amusing to you to see my crazy budget numbers? Yeah, probably. Yeah, people are laughing. Okay. All right. So, oh, Roger says it's not far off from his. See? It makes me feel a little better, Roger. Okay. All right. So, what this does over here is it basically, this one section now tells you your monthly expense summary. All it did, it's not doing anything fancy. It just takes each one of these categories you had that are listed here, and it sums up how much you had in your current, how much you had in your minimum, and how much you had in your ideal for each one. And then at the bottom, it tells you your total for this whole current category. So for monthly expenses current, my budget is $16,554.77. That's how much I'm spending on everything, including $7,000 on taxes, okay? So you can just see what my current thing is for all that stuff. For a minimum, though, I'm only spending $6,242.44. So if things really got rough, if, you know, I had to quit my job, or I got fired from my job, or I got sick and I couldn't work anymore, and I was willing to live at a lower standard of living, then I could get by on $6,242.44 per month. That's good to know. Super good to know, because that's now my minimum number. And then if I was going to live my ideal lifestyle, what I think of as this would be perfect for me. This is all the massages I want. This is all the movies I want. This is all the books I want. This is all the fun I want. This is saving for all the gifts. This is me with my cable subscription, you know, everything that I want as part of my ideal. And it's whatever it is true for you. This is my ideal number. It's $18,814.77 per month. It's whatever number makes sense for you. So you see these three columns with the three totals there. Jason says, nice to see a breakdown of a sort of fuzzy number we put into our RFP scenarios. Yeah, we're getting there. We're totally getting there. Okay, so that's all stuff that the software, that the Excel spreadsheet calculates for you. Now you have to put in a few more inputs. So right now, in your current situation, how much would you be collecting from annuities? How much does your annuity income provide? So if you have a certain amount of money and you were receiving annuity income right now, you'd put in, I'm receiving $100 a month or $1,000 a month from my annuities. And if your minimum is true, then maybe it's zero. And if your ideal is true, then maybe that's, I don't know, $1,400 or whatever it is, okay? So it shows you like how much you're receiving if in all three of the situations from annuities. It's income, passive income you receive. So this is the passive income section. So for me, I've got no annuities, but it's whatever is true for you. So if you have any annuities, put that in there for you. For Social Security, it's whatever you're currently receiving from Social Security, or if this is going to be a future situation where you know your ideal, you're going to be collecting Social Security, go ahead and put in Social Security in that case. So if you know, look, my ideal, I know that I'm going to be able to collect Social Security by the time I get to my ideal. So I'm going to put in $1,400 a month or whatever you're going to get from your ideal. Go ahead and do that. For me, I might be living my ideal before I'm able to collect Social Security. So I'm going to put in zero for all these. But if you're collecting it, go ahead and put it in. Okay. If you've got a pension, if you happen to work for para, or you're lucky enough to have worked at a job where there's actual pension involved, go ahead and put in whatever you're earning from your pension. If you're getting it now, put it in current. If you're going to get it and you're going to be living your minimum, put it in the minimum. If you're going to get it and you're going to be living your ideal, then put it in ideal. Whatever your current numbers are for those. Okay. And then finally, your net rental cash flow. So this is after all expenses, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, vacancy, maintenance, CapEx. All of those expenses need to come out of here first. This is how much you could reasonably expect to consistently receive from your rental properties in positive cash flow. So go ahead and put whatever number it is in there. I'm just going to put in $5,000 a month, okay? But use whatever numbers you have there. And for me, because I'm not acquiring additional properties, they're all the same. So my current, my minimum, and my ideal are all exactly the same because I'm sort of in that spot already. But my ideal, like if I was thinking about this, my ideal would be, you know, 5 years from now, and I think my cash flow would be whatever it is, $6,000. You can go ahead and just estimate that as to what you need to be, okay? So it'll go ahead and do that. And then if you have any other passive income you're receiving, maybe you, I don't know, are receiving payments from a settlement or something like that, and you've got other income coming in, you can go ahead and put that in here as well for your current minimum and ideal, and you can go ahead and calculate what it is there. Okay. And so that gives you an ideal of, you know what I should add? I should make a note of this. I should add a subtotal for passive income summary. I don't have that. Jason, would you be willing to email me that? Just a reminder, and I'll add it to the spreadsheet. I should have a subtotal here for passive income. So really, it'll tell you like how much passive income you have. It uses all that. Then after that, after you've gotten all of the income you're receiving right now, then you put in what you think your safe withdrawal rate is for each of the three scenarios. And remember what safe withdrawal rate is. Safe withdrawal rate is the amount of money as a percentage that you can withdraw from investments that you have, not real estate. This is like stocks or bonds. But how much money can you safely withdraw each year such that you are very likely to not run out of money? And if you have heard of the 4% rule, or some people, you know, they're claiming it's now a 5% rule, or if to be really, really conservative, some people are saying, you know, 3% rule. So whatever you believe to be the current safe withdrawal rate that you can safely withdraw from your other investments, not real estate, then go ahead and put that in here. So for me, I might say to myself, okay, you know, for my current situation, I think 4% seems pretty reasonable. If I was living a minimum lifestyle, maybe I'd be willing to be a little bit more aggressive and use kind of what the founder of the 4% rule says you can use now. Maybe I'd use 5%, probably not. But, and then in my ideal situation, maybe I'm going to be more conservative and I'm going to use, you know, 3.5 or 3.2 or whatever it is. Whoops, I keep hitting the button. And so maybe I'll have different numbers there. For the most part though, I probably would use 4% for all of them, but you can do different numbers and it will change the calculations. Once you enter in all of your expenses, all that stuff up here, you can enter in all your passive income and you enter in your safe withdrawal rate. It will then tell you how much additional money you need to have invested in stocks and bonds or whatever else that you're using for your safe withdrawal rate right here. So in order for me to be able to meet my number with the expenses I have in minimum, the passive income I have coming in from my minimum stuff, I would need to have $372,000 invested in stocks in order to be able to generate all the money I need in order to meet my minimum target monthly income in retirement. Okay. In order for me to meet the number for my ideal, I would need to have just over 4 million, 4.1 million. In order to reach my number currently for my current budget, I would need to have $3.4 million at a 4% safe withdrawal rate and this passive income coming in. Okay. So that now shows you your required investment at your safe withdrawal rate in order to do this. Now, this is not saying you're earning 4% on that money. It's whatever you're earning in the stock market and on bonds and stuff like that, you know, whatever it is, 8%, 7%, 12%, whatever you believe is true, you're doing that. This is the safe withdrawal rate number in order to calculate that. So we work backwards using all of your expenses and any passive income. We subtract that out first. And this shows you how much additional you would need to have invested somewhere else in order to be able to hit your number. Does anybody have any questions about that? Or do you see your number and you're like, what is going on? Why is my number so weird? Or is this a surprise for you? Is it higher and lower? Like, what do you want to share? Anything? Nothing? You guys are good? No one has any questions. All right. Taxes look high. Yeah, maybe my taxes are high. I don't know. Whatever they are. Here. Where are taxes? Oh, they're at the bottom. I don't know. Yeah, my taxes. Who knows? Maybe they're. I have no idea what they are. Is the ideal number the number you would prefer? So I'm living pretty close to my ideal lifestyle right now. So my current is really close to my ideal. I don't really have much more desire than what I'm currently living on. So does that answer your question, Sharna? Roger says, safe withdrawal rate gets all the expenses paid for minus the net rental cash flow. Yes. So if you had annuities or Social Security or pension, those would also be removed from how much you need to have for your safe withdrawal rate. But yes, it takes all of these numbers and it subtracts out those numbers from your expenses. And then it tells you how much you need to have using that safe withdrawal rate to generate the remainder. So yes. So Bob and Barbie says, so the amount doesn't include the amount you have in real estate. No, and it never will. Because remember, your cash flow on your rental properties, we're accounting for that here. You can't count your equity in the rental properties too. It's not like you could say, hey, listen, I'm making $5,000 a month in cash flow and I have $2 million in real estate equity. No, it's one or the other. Either you use your cash flow from your rental properties or you use the safe withdrawal rate on the money after you liquidate the real estate to invest in stocks or bonds or something like that. So it's really either I'm getting cash flow, in which case I ignore equity in the property, or I'm going to sell the properties. I'm going to take that equity after all my expenses and I'm going to invest that somewhere else. And then I would use safe withdrawal rate for that. So yeah, that's a good question, but no, we're doing it that way. Serafin says, what about extra equity in real estate investments at retirement? Yeah, so that's exactly what I just said. So either you're taking that into cash flow, or you have the equity, you have to sell it, and you have to invest that somewhere else. You can't take a safe withdrawal rate and the cash flow on your rental properties. You don't get to do both. So Serafin says, would you sell the real estate, put the money in stocks? So me personally, I have a combination of stocks, cash, and real estate. So I have a combo. Some people are like, I don't believe in stocks. I'm investing all in real estate. Some people, probably not anyone on this call, but some people would be like, I don't believe in real estate. I'm doing all in stocks and bonds or whatever, annuities. I mean, some people are like, I don't believe in the stock market. I'm going to do annuities, or I'm going to live all completely on Social Security. And you could change your numbers and show that you can make this thing work with just Social Security. Yeah, let's see here. So Raj says, right. Just want to make sure. Yeah. I'm not sure what I answered. Yeah. 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 Roger. That's right. And then, that was Bob and Barbie. Yeah. Just want to make sure. Yep. Absolutely. And then Jason says, you may want to mention that little adjustment drop down box in REFP for the owner occupant mortgage payoff below these numbers. That's really good. So Jason says, you know, in REFP, the Real Estate Financial Planner does this modeling like on steroids. It does much better job of modeling. This is sort of like a really rough thing. Although, Jason, I'll get to your point. Although doing this calculation and getting your kind of minimum and your ideal, these are the numbers you would use in the Real Estate Financial Planner, because it asks you for what's your minimum target monthly income in retirement. Well, that's this number right here, 62, 42, 44. That's my minimum I need to earn in order to hit thing. And then what's your ideal? 18, 814, 77. And then a real estate financial planner will actually adjust those for inflation for you, because this number is your number today as a snapshot in time. It is not a number 10 years from now. And so realize you'll have to make adjustments for that. It's what the real estate financial planner does, but the spreadsheet does not. So, you know, a year from now, you'll need to readjust these numbers with your new inflated numbers and see how this all changed. So Jason wanted to point out is, in the Real Estate Financial Planner, eventually these minimum numbers and ideal numbers in a lot of cases will change, because eventually this mortgage gets paid off and it goes to zero. And so you could see that when I pay off my mortgage, I'll toggle back and forth. You can see when I pay off my mortgage, those actually adjust, and then all those calculations change, because you don't need to have as much because you no longer have a mortgage payment. Okay, I'll leave it on there, but you could see that there's a toggle button in Real Estate Financial Planner as to whether or not you wanted to take into account that you're going to, when you do pay off your mortgage, or if you want to ignore that and say, just keep my income at that higher level and pretend that I still have a mortgage. You could do either one. Okay. So Wayne says, I joined late. Why would someone sell money and in stock? Like, why would you sell your real estate and invest in stocks? Who knows? If that's your belief. I mean, some people don't believe in the real estate market. Some people don't believe in the stock market. Some people don't believe in bonds. Some people don't believe in Santa Claus. I have no idea why. I mean, who knows, right? So Wayne says, annuities are invested in stocks indirectly. Sometimes the return is zero. Yeah, I probably need to do a whole class on annuities. They're more complex than that. Because yes, while they are invested in stocks, there are some guarantees in place. Held by the insurance company. It's an insurance product, really, is what it is. And so there's some insurance, and each one's a little bit different, right? Like I'm talking generally about how annuities work, but yes, absolutely. There you go. Veronica says, you could put the lump sum in QYLD and live off the dividend. This one pays 11%. I have no idea what QLYD is. Maybe. Some people do that. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, you could live off dividends, but the dividend is intended to be reflected inside that safe withdrawal rate. The way safe withdrawal rate is calculated is it includes the returns you're getting from capital gains and also from dividends. You're not counting your dividends that you're receiving separately. So if you thought, hey, listen, for other here, I'm going to put in dividends, that is not conservative. If you were like, look, I want to do 4% safe withdrawal rate on this stuff, and I'm also receiving X number of dollars in dividends in all my stocks, then you really should not be double dipping like that. The safe withdrawal rate was designed to include dividends and also capital gains on the stocks, the price going up on stocks. So that's how it was designed, but it's less conservative for you to separate those out and to double dip. Okay. All right. Finally, there's one last thing on here, and that is, And there's one section when you're setting up your rules for your income on the Real Estate Financial Planner, where you're going to want to know what your personal expenses are, not counting your housing expenses, which is like, you know, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, stuff like that. And so I do that math for you here and I show you what the number is. So it's just a helpful tool for when you're doing Real Estate Financial Planner, you're setting up the rule for your income. That's all that is. All right. Any questions? That's the spreadsheet. That's the whole thing. Was that what you guys wanted? Was that helpful for you all? Be able to see those numbers, how much you need, having stocks, to be able to modify whatever numbers you're like, look, you know, cash flow is going to be when I'm, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, when I'm hitting my numbers, cash flow is going to be different. I'm going to have some annuities. I'm going to have a pension. I'm going to have Social Security, something like that. Anything? Bob Barbie say, nice. Rebecca says, I love it. It will be addicting. Okay. Wasn't intending to go quite that hard, but thank you very much. I appreciate that. Bob Barbie said, thank you. Carlos says, yes, very interesting. Surfing says, thanks, James. Very helpful. You're very welcome. Great job on this, James. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate that. Dan says, thanks for sharing this. You're very welcome. Nathan Lindsay, thanks, James. You're very welcome. Nick says, yes, but where is the line for all my Dogecoin that is going to the moon? You know, Dogecoin is probably part of not on here. No, Dogecoin, if I had to put it somewhere, it's probably in that invested at safe withdrawal rate. Although, I mean, it's all speculative cap gains, it's not really any income. So I don't know. I'm trying not to, you know, take on Dogecoin, but it's speculative, right? It's here. You're hoping it goes up in value. There you go. Brandon says, this was great. You guys are very welcome. Glad you liked it. Veronica says, thank you. This was interesting. Awesome. Glad you liked it. You're very welcome, Brandon. Download spreadsheet right there. Nick, just joking. Yeah, I'm sure you were. But, you know, you want to get me on record talking about Dogecoin. I know you guys want to do that. So thank you. Miles, action steps of 20 properties in, recast the balances, bring down monthly payments to get the retirement numbers. Yeah, that's literally what I do consulting on, Miles. Like when people want to know, they want me to enter all their stuff in the portfolio into the Real Estate Financial Planner software and to do like risk analysis and tell them, should you pay off properties early? Should you refinance? Should you sell off half and pay off other ones? And we talk about what your goals are, when you want to do it, and timing. Yeah, all that stuff is what I do with REAP. It's like, not, it's too much for this like brief class on a budget. So yeah, you're very welcome. Janice says, this is a wonderful spreadsheet. Thank you for sharing. You're very welcome. I'm glad you like it. Raj says, yes, this is great. Awesome. Jason says, some asset classes simply shouldn't be included in these calculations. Yeah, Jason, you and I have had conversations about this. And, you know, if you're doing, you know, startup land investments where the probability of anyone making money is very close to zero, maybe it's not zero, but, you know, if you're doing stuff like that, then maybe you don't list that in your required investment at your safe withdrawal rate. Maybe that's sort of like a, you know, a speculative, high possible return, low likelihood, low probability of that return. And you kind of use that to say, okay, well, if this hits, I'm going to pay off properties, or if this hits, I'm going to invest that in stocks, or whatever you're going to do. You know, you could model it that way, but yeah, you're probably right. It probably shouldn't be on that. Rock says, oh, and gold isn't included. Yeah. I mean, gold would probably be like a Dogecoin thing where you have that required investment at safe withdrawal rate. But it's not typically historically how we look at safe withdrawal rate, right? Safe withdrawal rate was done on the stock and bond market. And so in order to use the safe withdrawal rate, you do that. But gold does also not produce any type of monthly income. It's not a passive income source. It's a speculative investment in something that may or may not go up in value. So it's not an annuity. It's not Social Security. It's not a pension. It's not net cash flow on properties. You know what else isn't on here is vacant land, because vacant land doesn't typically produce any type of income either. So this is not like an assets and liabilities sort of spreadsheet. It's more like budget, right? Like income and expenses sort of thing, whatever Jason would call that in tax land. So yeah. And so let's see here. And I'm pro crypto, pro NFT. Yeah, exactly, Jason. So you could do crypto in here. You could do NFTs in here. Wait, so some people still work part-time. I don't think I would ever retire 100%. Do you factor that in? Sure. So you could do that right here under passive income summary. You could say, look, it's not really passive. You could say this is job, right? You know, part-time retirement job. We'll just label it as that, right? Part-time retirement job. And then you put in whatever you make here, you know, $2,000 a month, and you do that. And so that would actually be included. You could do it there. That's a really good question, Wayne. What wouldn't be one that I would have thought of, although I should have thought of it. I mean, it's good to do. So yeah, you could do it right there if you want to. Carlos says it is very good. That's awesome, Carlos. So that's all I got for you. If you have any last minute questions, I'll stick around for a few minutes, but otherwise, enjoy. It is my gift to you to use the spreadsheet and do it. And I only need to make one change. I need to add kind of like a subtotal to passive income summary, which isn't really required, but I think it'd be helpful. Wouldn't it be helpful to kind of see what your passive income summary would be, a total? Yeah. You're very welcome, Rebecca. See you soon. Yeah, Carlos says, yep. Yep. You are very, very welcome, Miles. And you're welcome to contact me if you want to. Although I'm semi-retired. Oh my goodness. Nick says, your work on this is greatly appreciated. You're very welcome. I'm glad it's appreciated. Dan says, thanks again, James. It's always fun to listen to you and your knowledge. Thanks. Appreciate that. Veronica says, thanks again. You guys are very, very welcome. Error, unable to find CTA. There's no sales pitch, Jason. It's like, you got the spreadsheet. That's all you got. Donna, you're very welcome. Donna, was this the class you hoped for on budgeting? Let me know if this is the class you hope for. And Bob and Barbie says, always fun. Joe Rickliver. Miss you and love the hair. Yes. Bald people unite. I'm not 100% bald, but shaved heads unite. Yeah. Perfect. Great start. Oh my gosh. I didn't actually do the whole budgeting class. What else am I missing? Jason says, just so everyone knows, James can help you buy rental properties as your realtor. Oh, I don't know if that's true, Jason. I might be able to. I don't know. I'm still on sabbatical, at least to today. I don't know if that's changing in the future or not. We'll see. All right. On that note, no one needs anything else. Wayne says, thanks. I was late, so I missed most of it. Make an effort to be early next time. Yeah, no problems, Wayne. And you can probably figure it out. It's like just entering, and I'll try to post the recording too. But basically, just go fill out the spreadsheet. And then on the right-hand side, you should be able to see how I did the math. The first part was easy. It's just really entering your numbers. You're very welcome. Are we having class every week? Probably not. And in fact, I sent an email to Jason earlier today. I think in the future, I might not do live classes. I might do... If I'm going to do more classes, they probably will likely not be live. And by live, I don't even mean in person. I mean like even webinar live. I probably will do recordings, like me just teaching by myself in a room to do that. I don't know. Sad face. Oh, don't try to guilt trip. You know, I grew up, my mother is like the queen of guilt trips. I'm like immune to guilt trips. So yeah. Yeah, I just don't like seeing other people sad, but I'm not susceptible to guilt trips. So there you go. Jason says, welcome to retirement. It is boring. Tears. You're so funny. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. On that note, I could do live Q&A after. Yeah. Or I could not do live Q&A at all. I think that's the challenge. Oh man. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Never say never. As of right now, if you had like asked me today, I'm leaning toward maybe doing some stuff, but not live. I don't know. I have to like take a shower. I got to put clothes on, do my classes. That's just not good. So, all right. Yeah, I could do live Q&A after. Yep. All right, folks. Thank you all for coming. I'm glad you like spreadsheet. I will hopefully try to make that one change. Maybe I'll send out another copy, but it won't be easy for you to do all the stuff you did. You'll have to copy it over manually because it's not easy to copy one spreadsheet to another. Carlos says, can be short classes. Yeah. The trick is, you know, it's hard to get someone to come. I think Wayne was pretty late. Like, it's hard to get people to come. And then when they show up, you know, 30 minutes late, the class is over. So it's hard to do. This was a short class. It was like an hour, 15 minutes. Yeah. Great again. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will talk to you all soon. Good night, all. And I'll try to post the recording in the new spreadsheet when I make some changes. Bye-bye. You're very welcome, all. Bye-bye for everybody. Talk to you all soon. Thanks.